is now time to see who the winning team is.
The first selection in the 2020 NHL draft belongs to the New York Rangers.
You're listening to the Morning Show, Morning Drive here on 102.5 The Game, live from Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Justin Bradford, Joe Rexrode, Marquise Munson, and you just heard Commissioner Gary Bettman of the NHL calling out the New York Rangers as the winner of the NHL Draft Lottery. And joining us now to talk about that and the draft is Scott Wheeler of The Athletic. Scott, thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So first off, I got to ask about the dramatic episode that this was last night with the music and the confirmation of the logos on the ball and the one ball that gets dropped was the Rangers ball, sparking conspiracy theories. What was your take on the overall presentation of the product last night?
I thought it was a lot of fun. It was hokey. It was kitschy. It was kind of overdone. But it was still a lot of fun. We knew that it was going to be hokey. We knew that they had 30 minutes of airtime to fill for what was essentially a one-minute exercise. And I thought they pulled it off nicely. I thought the music was funny. I thought the way that it all kind of played out with Gary Bettman confirming the logos of the teams in his leagues was a little funny. So it was good. It was all fun and games. I thought the moment was exactly what the NHL was probably hoping it would be, which is tense and exciting and thrilling for one team and disappointing for the rest. And certainly Twitter and sort of social media was buzzing about it. So I think that's a win-win-win for the NHL.
And luckily for, I guess, a lot of these teams, a lot of fans, that it didn't go to Pittsburgh, it didn't go to Edmonton, it didn't go to Toronto. I think those are the three that folks were looking at of, please don't let it go there. But at least Lafreniere is going to go to a team that's in a big market, loaded with talent. And so there's some excitement, I'm sure, around that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the player can often get lost in this entire sort of lottery process. These are kids, and there's a lot at stake for them. And him getting to go to a team that's already on the sort of come up and already on the outside of their sort of looking in the rearview mirror, if you will, back at their rebuild, it is big for him. He could have gone to a team like Detroit or a team like Ottawa or even one of the California teams, whether that's in Anaheim or in L.A., where they're still 2, 3, 4 years away from getting to where the New York Rangers are right now, essentially. And that is as maybe not a contending for a Stanley Cup level of a team, but certainly a playoff team, a team that is built around a ton of talent, a young team, and a team that already has a lot of this sort of foundational pieces in place that you need to become a Stanley Cup contender long term. So it's got to be a very, very happy day for Alexis Lafreniere. He's going to have a big day, obviously, in October when it finally gets announced. But it's basically a foregone conclusion at this point. He's going to go to the Rangers. They're going to take him. There's not going to be any funny business, I don't think. So it's a big, big day for him and a big, big day for an original six franchise that has not sort of fallen on hard times in recent years, but hasn't been the New York Rangers that we're used to seeing, the sort of contending team that they were in the early 2010s and late 2000s. So they need to get back there. It's good for the league for them to get back there. I'm sure they will be all over the national broadcast schedule next year now that they have Alexi. So it's a good thing for basically everyone involved as far as I'm concerned.
See, Justin, you talked about those three teams and conspiracy theories, but I immediately thought of Patrick Ewing and the New York Knicks when the when the ball came. I'm like, what, did that come out of the freezer? How does that work? But I think certainly good for the NHL. Scott, you wrote a piece with 10 thoughts about this, and one of your thoughts was apologies to the Predators. You wrote that of the 8 teams that could have won the lottery, the Preds were probably the team with the strongest need for a player like Lafreniere. Explain that and I guess just how you look at where the Preds stand right now.
Yeah, I was kind of quietly pulling for the Predators. I think I was on Team Chaos. I think it would have been a lot of fun if Toronto or Edmonton or the Pittsburgh Penguins had have won. I think that just the sort of disappointment and the outrage would have made for even greater television than it already was. But if it wasn't going to be one of those three teams and it was going to be one of the other five, I think the Predators were, it's hard to say deserving with something like this, but they were the team that certainly could use a player like Alexis Lafreniere, maybe more than the rest. You look at the teams that were all available and they're all loaded with talent up front. They've all got the Mark Scheifele's of the world and the Artemi Panarins and the Sidney Crosby's and the Austin Matthews and the Alexander Barkov's in Florida's and even Jonathan Huberdeau in Florida, and all of that is sort of already at play for those teams. They have star power up front, and I think when you look at this Nashville Predators team, as good as Matt Duchene is, as good as Philip Tomasino will be for them, I believe, as their sort of de facto top prospect right now, as good as Philip Forsberg is, they aren't that level of player. They aren't true sort of superstar level talents, the kind of players who can be number one players on a Stanley Cup winning team. So Alexi kind of fit in Nashville maybe more than he did in other organizations, just because he would have been their go-to guy almost immediately. He would have instantly become one of their most talented forwards. And he was the kind of forward piece for a team that has typically built around its defense that could have really pushed the needle and moved the needle for them and moved them in the right direction over the next 2, 3, 4 years. So, it would have been a huge day for the Nashville Predators. I think it would have been a huge day for the sort of history of the organization all told if they had have landed Alexi. So I think they're probably the team that can probably be more disappointed than maybe the rest can.
Again, Scott Wheeler, The Athletic, join us to talk NHL draft, NHL draft lottery. And picking 11th isn't necessarily all bad because the type of draft this is, there's some good deep talent there. And looking at some projections already in rankings, and Corey Pronman said at number 11, Jack Quinn, who's a right wing. And then we've seen some other ones say possibly Seth Jarvis, who's a center. Some people wanting Askarov, the goaltender as well. What do you think is going to be a great fit for the Predators and the system that they have now and what they truly do need to keep their window slightly open over the next few years?
I still think a forward makes the most sense at number 11. I believe that this draft is 8 sort of top-end players deep. I'd be surprised if any of those players, 7 of which are forwards, are still available at 11. But it's not completely out of the question that one of those players drops. Every year we seem to have forwards that drop as teams inevitably take defensemen near the top of the draft. And this year in particular is really interesting because there aren't very many high-end defensemen. There's really only 2 defensemen at the top of the draft. And I think if you see 3 or 4 defensemen go in that top 10, like you typically do see in an average draft year, then suddenly one of those forwards that's really high on my board could begin to slip. So I think Jack Quinn, it could be a player there for them if those forwards that I sort of hinted at aren't available. And I think, you hit the nail on the head with players like Seth Jarvis and Jack Quinn. I think that's the good fit there. Even after taking Tomasino a year ago and sort of beginning to rebuild the strength of the prospect pool as forward, I still think you can go back to that well this year. I still think that's the right play, overtaking a defenseman or overtaking Yaroslav Askarov. I think between Connor Ingram and UC Saros that they've got a good thing going in net. I'm really, really a big fan of Connor Ingram and his potential to be an NHL goalie and maybe even a starting NHL goalie. So there are options there for them in net, and I don't think they have to be one of the teams that takes the plunge on Askarov, as good as he is as a goalie prospect and as legitimate as he is as a goalie prospect. So I think they probably go forward there, and that means if you're lucky, you're looking at one of those 7 big forwards that I hinted at. And if not, I think players like Jack Quinn and Seth Jarvis and Dylan Holloway and some of the other top forwards in the draft make some sense.
And before we have to let you go, we're still tracking the PK Subban trade because a draft pick in this draft for the Predators still comes from that. I mean, last season they had 2 in the second round thanks to that, where they got Igor Afanasyev. And then this year they have 2 second round picks as well, and then 2 third round picks because of the Fiala trade too. So looking at this and loading up, trying to fill that cupboard up as well, how much of an impact does it make in this organization to have those 2 seconds and those 2 thirds, especially looking at years to come and what that could potentially mean, not just for the team, but for maybe even trade assets down the road?
I think that's big. I think when you're a team like the Predators and you've been a sort of playoff team for going on a decade now and a borderline contending team for much of that, I think it's not very often that you see a team that has that kind of depth in terms of picks in a single class, particularly picks in this sort of rounds 2 and 3. So the fact that they're still a playoff team, they've still got a lot of pieces to build around, they're still in sort of win now mode, and that they're also now able to sort of begin at least to rebuild that prospect pool and insulate that prospect pool, it'll be huge for them. This draft, I would say, is about 40 or 50 players deep in terms of the kind of prospects that I think have the potential to be real sort of everyday NHL players. And of those 40 to 50 players, many of them are often available into the later rounds, into the 4th round, into the 5th round on my board. The draft doesn't play out exactly like my board plays out. So there's going to be potential, I think, in rounds 2 or 3 to get some really good players. It's a very, I kind of hinted at this earlier, but it's a very forward-heavy draft. So I think if they're looking at forwards in this draft. There could be some home run swings that are worth taking. It just is a very light draft on defense, and there's probably only 10 or 15 defensemen that are in that 40 or 50 players that I talked about. So if you're willing to take 2, 3, 4 forwards with your top picks, I think you could end up getting some future options for yourself as sort of top 9 players, and that'll be big for them as they enter into their next phase here, and they need that young sort of entry-level depth that can give you offense on a cheap contract. So if they can hit with those picks, it'll be a big weekend for them for sure.
No, absolutely. I'm looking forward to the NHL draft in October. Going to be interesting. Well, Scott, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. We really appreciate your insight.
Yep, no sweat. Anytime, guys.
Scott Wheeler, The Athletic. Great insight there on the NHL draft, which will be in October. Very, very weird to say that. Usually it's the end of June, but October for the NHL draft, Joe.
So take note, NFL. You can have a July draft.
Be flexible. Okay, up next, we are going to continue on with this. There's some, looks like, breaking news coming out again in the college football landscape. We're going to talk about that. Up next, Morning Drive, Justin Bradford, Joe Rexroad, ESPN 102.5 The Game.